Today on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris Gordon reminds us that we've got a serious problem, and it's illustrated by Abraham's life.
All sin can be summarized as departure from God and summarized as an exerting of our own wills and not trusting the Lord, trying to find satisfaction in another way, trying to answer our problems in another way. And what Abraham's life is showing us is how alive and real this problem is.
His life will also show us the answer. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're in Genesis today as we continue our look at the life of Abraham, the birth of the promised son, Genesis 21. Hey, by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, record it on your voice memo app and then email it to us, questions@aboundinggraceradio.org. We'll see if we can't get to it on the air. Right now, here's Pastor Chris with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac, your offspring shall your offspring be named, and I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. And she said, let me not look on the death of the child. And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not. For God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. May the Lord bless this morning the hearing of his word. Last week, we were challenged with looking into the life of Abraham, and it was really eye-opening when we consider the whole of the Christian life. We tend to think, as we have studied the life of Abraham, and we look and compare our own lives and think about what the scriptures are telling us, we tend to think that the conversion of our lives only happens right at the beginning. And because of that, we really don't understand what the struggle is that we are facing throughout the course of life, throughout the whole course of the Christian life. What do I mean? We understand and we confess that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And there is a conscious point when we grasp this, when we believe this, when we repent of our way, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord announces to you his love. The Lord announces to you his free gospel acceptance. You are justified by faith alone once and for all. But then we go on from there. And what we don't realize, what we don't think about, is how much the old nature is fighting against that very thing that has happened. And that this fight against the grace of God, and that's what I'm emphasizing this morning in Genesis, this fight against the grace of God and his gospel is not something that ends at our initial conversion. It's a fight. And we're learning that this conversion is a daily thing. It's a lifelong thing. In what way? That's what we're exploring today with Abraham. What is the way the struggle for the Christian is characterized in the Bible? The whole of the Christian walk, the whole of the Christian faith. Sure, we struggle against individual sin. All of us here today struggle with sins. It's particular sins that we all struggle with, no doubt. But how can your struggle be summarized today in light of this text? How is the struggle summarized? It's a fight throughout the course of life. It's engaging in a warfare to let go of your own will. It's a warfare to let go of your own effort. It's a warfare that you're facing right now that goes on to deny yourself, to deny your own works, old works, and to live by faith in his gospel promises. All sin can be summarized in that kind of way as departure from God and summarized as an exerting of our own wills and not trusting the Lord, trying to find satisfaction in another way, trying to answer our problems in another way. And what Abraham's life is showing us is how alive and real this problem is. Remember last week, Abraham feared that in a lawless world, in a godless world, that people would kill him over his beautiful wife. And so he went around telling a little white lie. I mean, hey, it was a little white lie. Come on. But that little white lie, which even had a little bit of truth in it, attacked the whole plan of God's redemption. Did you see the consequence of that little white lie? Twice he threw away his wife, who was the one God had appointed to bear the son Isaac. And had it all went its way, had these kings taken her, and she became the wife of these kings, you wouldn't be here. Just from a little white lie, he almost wrecked everything. And every time in the story, God intervened, God delivered, God stepped in, God preserved, God kept Abraham because he could have never kept himself. And that's our story. But have you considered what God is really teaching us through this? Have you figured it out? Today we deal with the biggest failure of Abraham along the way. The biggest. And it ended up causing nothing but agony for him. It ended up causing a lot of pain for him. And the Lord is teaching us that these two ways show up in the course of one's life. And these two ways have very severe consequences. One a real blessed way, and the other a way of real agony. There is the way of faith, and then there's the way of trying to do it yourself. Letting fear, letting discouragement, letting conflict dictate the way you are going to live and the decisions that you are going to make. And the Lord all along is saying, no, it is to be by faith. I want you living by faith. No matter how you're tried and tested, no matter what you're going through, I want it by faith. Are you beginning to understand what faith looks like? Genesis is a book teaching us this. And this morning we come to this pivotal moment in the life of Abraham. It's another crucial moment because God calls him here, and you'll notice this, God calls him to make a clear choice to break with his past for good. Break with it. Go in the way of faith. Break with your past. And the wonderful thing about it is, in God's strength and grace, it was the most freeing thing he could have ever done. The New Testament takes this whole account, which is remarkable, and it gives us this very message. Let's look at this morning. In verse 1, chapter 18, the Lord had said, not verse 1, but in chapter 18, the Lord had made a promise. Remember what the Lord said? Next time at this year, your wife shall bear a son. Your wife, Sarah, shall have a son. And from the beginning of Abraham's life, God made this unilateral, this unconditional, this promise to Abraham that in the fullness of time, this son would come. And God kept saying it. God kept saying this over and over and over to Abraham. The son is coming. The son is coming. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And what was amazing is back in chapter 12, right at the initial calling of Abraham's life, there were those seven promises. And God kept saying, I will, I will, I will, I will. And nothing could alter it. Nothing. But specifically what God was saying to Abraham is this. I am the one, Abraham, who will do the work. I'm the one. The blessing comes from me. I will bless you. And that's what's remarkable about God's gospel. That's what's remarkable about his calling upon us. It's the free grace blessing us all along the way of God. And God said, I will raise up a son, and this is going to be marvelous in your sight. But the whole way, Abraham has been fighting over this. The New Testament commends his faith, and he had faith. But it does not mean that when somebody has faith, there are not serious struggles and moments of doubts and fighting. Because the whole story of Abraham has been one of struggle. I love studying his life. The story of Abraham has been one of attempting over and over to take matters into his own hands. And so we can call Abraham the synergist. In other words, he's an American. God helps those who help themselves. Now, if you haven't figured this out by now, God doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. In fact, it seemed to me the more Abraham pulled this, the greater the delay. And every time Abraham pulled this, God would come along and he would clean it up, which itself illustrated how foolish it was to do the things that he was doing. But after years of struggle, after years of doubt, years of wondering, think of the scene that's presented to you now. Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations. I will. And in you, all the nations of the earth, and your seed will be blessed. At this point, things have gone so long. Do you realize that when we come to Genesis chapter 21, every human obstacle is in the way for this to be fulfilled? And to the greatest degree, it's built up to this. The tension building up to this is really strong. Think about it. You have, around the birth of Isaac, you have international conflict and tension going on. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms, tension, conflict, and they don't like Abraham. He's not been much of a blessing. Sodom has just been toppled. His intercession has saved three. In fact, this whole scene is bracketed, did you notice chapter 21, is bracketed with the conflict with Abimelech, and then right after this, another conflict with Abimelech. Conflict, conflict, conflict. And then you have an absolutely human, impossible scenario that's been building here, that's been building. Abraham is how old now, boys and girls? 100. I heard somebody say it. Good job. 100. Sarah's 90. That's far past childbearing age. The only way this could occur is a direct, miraculous intervention of God. You see all the setup for this? Everything's been building. And so now when you come to verse 1 of chapter 21, listen to it with all that in mind. Listen to what the text is telling you. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Three times. In a few verses, he is telling, are you listening to this? Three times. As he said, as he promised, as he spoke, and we should all be sitting here today saying, that is overwhelming. That is overwhelming. Here's why. God kept saying all along, I will, I will, I will. You ever feel that the life you're living keeps lingering and it's going nowhere? And all these things you believed are so slow to come to pass. It happened. It happened. Everything they believed, everything they were looking for, God did. That's what the text is telling you. He did as he promised. He kept his word. This is a huge moment in Genesis. This is a pivotal moment in Genesis, looking at the big book, the whole book. What was the very first question in the Garden of Eden that Satan posed to Eve? Did God really say? Come on, Eve. Did God really say? He's not out for your best interests. He doesn't have your best interests in mind. His word can't be trusted. That's the lie of the devil that has been propagated from Genesis chapter 3 to this day on a massive scale. He's not in your best interest, you guys. He doesn't really care for you. And Eve said, you know, you're right. I'm going to try the other way. God's lying. And so you see how these two ways are presented in the scriptures, these two ways right from the beginning, a way of believing God and trusting his word and not doubting that word that he would accomplish everything that he said to us. And then there's the other way of unbelief. There's the two ways. Now, what we've been studying in Genesis is Abraham kind of testing out the lie of the devil. How did that go? Did God really say, come on, Abraham? You know, this is the whole question in the history of redemption. I was thinking about Psalm 78 this past week. Listen to this language and listen to what caused the Lord to confront Israel. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. And the psalm rehearses all that God accomplished. But they sinned. How did they sin? They tested God in their hearts. How so? Listen to this. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can he give bread? Can he really provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. Why? Because they didn't believe, it says. They didn't believe in God and did not trust his salvation. And the psalm says stuff like this. What do you mean? They ate angels' food the whole way. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the field of Zoan, in the land of Egypt. He divided the sea and caused them to pass. He made waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance. He brought streams out of the rock, caused waters to run. What do you mean, can God do this? Why would you ask that? That's unbelief, he says. Now, back to Abraham. Did all of their lack of trust, all of their worry, all of their attempts to take things into their own hands, how did that fare for them? That other way brought them a lot of sorrow. It made a mess. All of their worry never altered, never prevented what God was going to do, but look at what they had to go through. And this is such an important message for us. Why would anyone try to live this life in their own wisdom, in their own pursuits, thinking I'm going to do it my way and choose that? Why would anyone in their right mind do that? Did you notice the play in the text on the word laughter? There's a big message here. In chapter 17, right after the promise, what did Abraham do when God made the promise? He laughed. It was a laughter of doubt. And then Sarah in chapter 18 in the tent overhears and laughs. And God comes and God confronts this. He's not happy about this. You did laugh. Remember what God said because of all this laughter going on, a family laughing, the laughing problem of the Abrahams? You're going to name your son Laughter. This is how our God works. Okay. You're going to run around and every time you say your son's name, it's going to be, hey, Laughter, come here. Laughter, stop that. Laughter, you knocked that off. Laughter. It's really interesting when you consider the scene that all of this laughter brought a lot of sorrow. And the point of Genesis has been to show us here these two kinds of laughter that's going on. There's a laughter of unbelief, there's a laughter of scoffing, and then there's a laughter of joy that God gives. Wait till tonight. I can't wait till tonight. I won't start. The unbelief of laughter brought sorrow. Now the text is shining down this other kind of laughter now. After saying three times, God fulfilled his word. God did what he promised. God did what he said. What's the emphasis in the text? I want everyone to look at verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah born to him, laughter. That's what Isaac means. And then verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Do you feel the joy? Do you feel the excitement? Do you feel the whole tent filled with just great joy? God has brought an entirely different kind of laughter to me. She is looking at her son and an incredible delight of God's faithfulness. That joy has overwhelmed her. He brought this powerful laughter. So much joy. The passage is an encouragement to us because the emphasis is that this is God's work.
And indeed, it is God's work. A marvelous work that we'll go on to look at next time we're together, and the significance of this work as it relates to your salvation and mine, along with our walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org, or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805 or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Questions and comments are always welcome. In fact, if you have a smartphone, simply access your voice memo app. Leave us a question. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. We'll do our best to get Pastor Chris to answer it for you here on the program. Praise reports are welcome as well. Again, questions@agradio.org is where you would email your voice memos. Well, as promised, let's catch up with Pastor Chris once again as we look forward to our next broadcast.
The whole episode was forever to be a teaching tool for you. How does this episode a teaching tool for you? It teaches us something symbolically. What does it teach you symbolically? It's this, really simple. Abraham tried to achieve the promise by producing his own natural son. And that wife and that son represents to us, it represents to you, all of our own efforts in this life to achieve the promise, to do it by our own works, to live life our own way, to achieve our own dreams, to achieve eternal life our own way. That's what these people represent to us.
That's tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.